Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Karen Morn joins us this morning. Karen, how are you feeling this Friday? It's been quite the week, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is when you're going through stuff like this, you kind of just have to keep your head down and hope for the best. And I think that I'm still processing it. I know Billy Downer, the state advocate,
yes,
who I've worked with so many years, you know, he's also processing it. And, you know, we've just been so overwhelmed because, you know, people in this country have been so incredibly supportive through all of it. Like, I don't know how I would have managed without the kind of constant, you know, perfect strangers walking up to me in the street and just giving me hugs and high fives and encouraging me. You know, like I was in a luggage shop in Rosemary the other day, and this couple, the guy just walked up to me and he was like, "Hello," you know, and I thought, "Do I know this guy?" And he was like, "Oh no, we're just telling you, don't be strong, you know, don't give up, etc., etc." And you know, I love that about the country is that, you know, with the fact that we have really, you know, unfortunately appalling leadership and we've got a lot of difficulties going on, the people of this country are remarkable and they're brave and resilient and they're tenacious and they really want space for all of us. And I've really just felt that in this season and in the last few days.
It's absolutely incredible that you do have this support, and that is one of the things that got you through. I would imagine it is going to take time, almost like a post-traumatic stress thing, because this really was very, I mean, you were targeted. You were targeted in the worst way because it was personal. It was about your profession. It was about your credibility. It really, really came at you almost in every aspect of your life.
Well, that's why I'm so grateful to the KwaZulu-Natal High Court in Pietermaritzburg, because they literally laid bare the fallacy behind this case. And they exposed that there was no basis for any kind of criminal prosecution, that this was merely about, you know, me accessing court papers, not from Billy Downer, from Andrew Breitenbach, who was representing the state at the time, that the documents, by the time they were published, had been filed three times at court, that they were public documents, that there was no confidential information in them whatsoever, that no claim of confidentiality had been asserted over them by the former president's lawyers, and that in fact it was the former president's lawyers that filed the so-called sick notes or confidential medical record that he claimed that they used to then try to prosecute myself and Downer, and none of which was substantially disputed by the former president. And I think it's just such an important lesson for all of us to, you know, as a journalist, I know this, but it's really reinforced it, is to really know when people are making allegations, what are the truth of those allegations? Because people have made all kinds of claims that, you know, I've leaked medical records, emblazoned. None of that is true. And that judgment makes it very, very clear what the truth is. And I'm so grateful for that bench that they didn't just say, this is an unlawful private prosecution, none of these important legal technical dimensions have been fulfilled, but they actually looked at the substance of the case itself and said that this is
important.
An unsustainable prosecution. And I'm so grateful for that.
It's true. I didn't think of that, because if it was just sort of thrown out on a technicality or whatever that would be, then the speculation could still be there. Well, you know, was this wrong or wasn't it? But the fact that they went to the substantive nature of the case and not just the procedural obviously makes a massive difference to the outcome. Do you think that that Zuma and his lawyers ever thought they would have a chance of success? And if not, does that mean it was really just to shut you up?
I think, you know, one of the things that the former president was the most outraged about with me was that I continuously report on his so-called Stalingrad litigation style, you know, when I started reporting on him, he would win cases occasionally. I mean, he won certain of the warrant challenges that he fought. You know, he ran that initial stage of the Nicholson case where he was, you know, protesting about not being able to make representations. And then, of course, we had those huge seismic, politically seismic findings about Thabo Mbeki that were overturned. So there were cases that he was winning, but over the last few years, you know, ultimately all of his cases ended in failure. He hasn't won a single one. And, you know, my great heartbreak and sense of disquiet really is for Billy Downer. This is the second or third attempt that Jacob Zuma has made to force his removal as the prosecutor. Jacob Zuma made the criminal complaint against Downer in the special plea allegation, and it was dismissed by Judge Pete Kuhn. He said, look, on the exact grounds that the court have reinforced in our case now, just said, look, there's no basis for a claim of a breach of confidentiality here. And, you know, my opinion is, I haven't ventilated this in the criminal context, but this doesn't constitute an offense or a ground for Downer's removal in the way that the president, former president, averred. And that judgment has been reinforced by this bench now in KZN. But, you know, Jacob Zuma will on the 15th and 16th of August make a third attempt to force, or second or third attempt to force Downer's removal, based on the fact of this private prosecution and amongst other things that Downer challenged it.
Which is actually a compliment to, it's a compliment to him, but not one that is very pleasant. Marco says, picture South Africa without people like Karen. And San saying, Karen is a role model for women in South Africa. Yeah, I hadn't touched on that yet, actually. It's very relevant that a lot of what you endured was through very much a gender bias lens, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I had someone tell me that I was going to be repeatedly raped in prison. You know, I'm not alone in this. It's a global phenomenon. I think of someone like Polly van Beek, who has shown such incredible courage in the journalism that she has done and been so viciously targeted, particularly because of the work she did looking at, you know, SARS, looking at the EFF with VBS. I think about her. I think about someone like Marianne Tam. I think about my colleague, Deandre Noble. I think about Zindile Masakane, who was actively targeted by the EFF. The late Karima Brown, who had her information, her personal information shared, published, and she was doxed. I'm not alone in this. I'm one of many journalists, and unfortunately it is agendered. A lot of my male colleagues also experience immense harassment. Someone like Jeff Wicks, for example, and the work that he's done has been massively brave, massively courageous. But it unfortunately does take a gendered dimension, and you do get a lot of threats of sexual violence and attacks on you personally, who you are. When I wrote that story for today, I literally began by listing, you know, some of the words which I can't really use in this context, but listing all the words, the very derogatory.
Yeah, I was reading them, and I actually went cold.
Calling you those names.
Yeah.
And it's important because, you know, one of the things that I love about this judgment, Howard, is that the court looks at that online harassment, and it actually finds that the online harassment proves that there was an active intimidation, harassment, and silencing project that was being pursued against me by the former president and, you know, amongst other people, his daughter. And I'm so grateful that the court referenced those things which we alerted them to and made it clear that words have consequences, that this thing that you can just say whatever you want to people, threaten, intimidate, whatever, without consequence, the court has made it very clear that that is not the case. And I'm so grateful because I think it's going to be a source of support for so many of my colleagues who go through this every day and feel sometimes like there's no help for them at all.
Absolutely. Karen Morn, legal journalist, analyst at News 24. Go and read her article. Go and read it from her and read some of the things that she endured and what she has been through. As I said on Twitter, it's really a very much a professional and personal victory for Karen, but in fact, a victory for us all. Karen, well done. And just keep doing what you do.